Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being patient, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, M12 Radio, where every Friday we talk about A Course in Miracles, and hopefully we are changing the way that we experience life and spirituality. Now, if you're listening live, this is June 7th, 2019, and my guest today is Susan Dugan, who is an author of multiple books on forgiveness and an avid Course student. And what we're going to talk about today, Susan had suggested that we look at the ACIM workbook for student, lesson 157, which is Into His Presence, What I Enter Now. So I went ahead and I did post that in the chat room over on Facebook so you can find it. And hey, Greg, thank you very much. He actually gave us a link to the Foundation for Inner Peace where you can also find that lesson. So if you don't have the book, you can probably just go right to that website and pick up that lesson and read along with us if you'd like to do that, or check out anything else on that website, and also check out the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, which is also a great website, the two of those. So in any case, that's what we're going to talk about today. And speaking of Facebook, if you don't know what I'm talking about and you're going, what do you mean Greg is posting over on Facebook? That's because we have a live page during our live shows. And when I say a live page, it's actually a private page over on Facebook where we can talk back and forth. We can send messages, ask questions, that kind of thing. So if you'd like to join us over there, go to 12radio.com. That's our website. Look on the left side of the page and find the word chat. Click that and you will be redirected over to our private group. And Christy Brower is our producer today, and she'll let you in. But it's kind of funny. Before the show, I was going over there, and I was on the radio website, and I don't know why. My eyes kept going up and down and up and down that list, and I couldn't find chat. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Where's chat? Where's the link? And it was surely there. I don't know what it was. It was one of those selective viewing situations, which I guess really goes into what we talk about with, of course, vision. I just couldn't see the word chat. So after I, you know, kind of let down my panic a little bit, and I said, oh, there it is. So I just hit it. And sure enough, I'm over on Facebook too. So maybe that's a good lead in to talking about, you know, what we see in the world or what we think we see in the world. We see what we expect. And even though I was expecting the word chat, I just wasn't seeing it. But in any case, that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me get Susan on with us. And Susan, like I said, is the author of multiple books on forgiveness. She also is pretty avid with writing a blog. She does some incredible interviews with other people that are associated with A Course in Miracles. And so those are interesting to watch, to listen to, and to read about on her website as well. So Susan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, good. Well, and you know, it was interesting. Last night, I was studying this lesson that you had suggested, lesson 157, Into His Presence, What I Enter Now. And I can tell you, I've done the workbook a couple of times, and I certainly refer to it a lot. And when I read this lesson, I would swear I'd never seen it before.
That happens a lot, doesn't it, in the course?
Well, I was just like, I honestly don't remember this lesson. So, of course, that kind of led me to, I wonder why she suggested this. And I'm going to let you say that. But then again, once I was, then when I pulled it out this morning, I have penciled in to one of the versions that I have the dates on which, if you started on January 1st, that you would do this lesson. And it was June 6th.
Right.
So I thought, well,
right,
maybe that's why she came up with this lesson. But why did you come up with this lesson, or is that right?
Well, I have been listening in the last month or two to the Foundation for Inner Peace's, you know, has the, you can actually listen to the lessons, the daily lessons online. Uh-huh. And so, you know, as in the mornings, I've been sort of doing that as a practice, just to kind of focus me on you know, course principles and set the intention for the day. But this lesson, and so this was yesterday's lesson, but I had actually thought of it right before that too. So it was a kind of coincidental. But I think the reason that I was drawn to this week was it's been a rough 2 weeks for me. And I mean, just with a lot of calamities, you know, a lot more than usual in the dream. And and a lot of things going wrong, and just kind of, you know, that feeling that we can all get into so easily when we're identified as egos, of just being sort of under fire, you know, by all these things that are just like one damn thing after another, right?
Right.
And including my, you know, my computer, losing my computer for a week or two, and then having the horrifying discovery that the hard drive had gone, and having to try to recover the data, but, you know, only being able to, not all of the files, it's a long story, but not all of the files were backed up, including all of the writing that I've been doing in the last couple of years. So, which I can reconstruct some of it, or a lot of it, from other sources, you know, in different versions, but it's just an enormous amount of work. So, you know, that and many other things that are going on just felt like, wow, you know, it was so distracting. And of course, the whole purpose of the world is to keep us mindless, right? And mm-hmm. constantly fighting all these onslaughts of battles, you know, where I'm the beleaguered heroine. and you know, it was really sweeping me away. And so I thought of this. Ken has a wonderful CD series, a workshop, and it was an academy class, I believe, by this title, Into His Presence, What I Enter Now. I think that is the title of it. But I just remember, you know, I wasn't listening to that again, but I did remember how comforting some of that workshop had been to me. And so then when I saw that it was on, you know, it was coming up this week, I thought, well, that's great. I'm going to take another look at that lesson. And I was surprised too, going back to, I mean, I did remember seeing it before, but not intimately. And, you know, I think this is one of the unusual lessons, especially after the first, you know, beginning lessons in the workbook, that are really speaking of, you know, they're kind of a pep talk. They're it's a little bit of a time out. He's giving us a little whiff of the real world that this course is leading us to, and speaking much more of the experience of the peace and the love and the joy and security of the right mind and the holy instant. And that's not always, you know, the course very often, even the lessons that have very beautiful titles, immediately shift to telling, you know, to really getting us to look at the ego thought system, which is not so pretty. But this lesson is really sort of a wonderful time out, where he's you know, he's telling us that that there is an experience of us, for us, when we are practicing forgiveness, that is not, you know, that, I mean, the point of this is that we do have a shift to our right minds. And when we're able to look at our ego without judgment and have that and ask for help from the part of our mind that is all loving, and all secure, and knows that this dream of calamity is not real, you know, we can experience a real different way of looking at it, which is very, very kind and hopeful and peaceful and secure, no matter what's happening in our lives. And so it just felt to me like a very comforting kind of lesson. And you know, I think that sometimes when we're practicing the course, we can almost take it on as sort of a vocation, you know, where this is like, I just have to work at this. And the ego gets kind of joins the journey and makes it this, you know, gets all caught up with our ideas that we were brought up with, a sacrifice, and that we're not worthy, and we have to kind of prove our, you know, we have to suffer to experience salvation, and that's not really true. At any moment, we really can, no matter what's happening in our lives, have a real experience of safety and innocence and peace. Because the truth is that nothing outside of us has the power that we're giving us. I mean, we're making all of this up, and it's not about denying our experience in the world when we're still really, you know, experiencing ourselves as bodies. But at the level of the mind, we really can return to that quiet center and enter His presence. Mm-hmm. You know, that invitation is always waiting for us, And so that's why I chose it.
Okay. Well, and you know what? You are so right. Because in fact, you know, I do a number of things with a course. I mean, I usually listen to something every single morning of Ken, like when I'm making the coffee and getting dressed and making the bed and everything, I just have something and, you know, several things and I just punch one of them in and I'm listening to them. And, you know, every week or, you know, on different days, you start seeing patterns. And I have been reminded this week about how much of the course is, this is not a course in love. This is not a course for bliss ninnies.
Right.
This is a course in looking at the interferences to love, you know. And so when you think about that, that we can get so much into it. In fact, even in the first paragraph of this lesson, it says, you have spent long days and nights in celebrating death.
Yeah.
And that actually really did speak to me for a variety of reasons. But, you know, and that's it. I don't want to make out the course to be this drudgery, just like you said. But it is true that the course is focusing and, you know, they say it over and over and over. And certainly Ken Wapnick does. This is a course in undoing the ego.
Right.
This
right.
And even going so far as to say this is not choosing love. This is being willing to say no to what's not love.
Right.
And, you know, in fact, I've been thinking a lot about that this week, too. And I know sometimes it just becomes a mind game. But it's true. It's not, you know, we want to say, oh, I'm just going to say some affirmations and life is beautiful. Or I'm going to choose this. I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose kindness. I'm going to choose all these things. But it just keeps saying, you know what? You've got to unchoose all the rest.
Right.
And if you're not willing to unchoose the rest, then you never really get at it. You know, so in truth, we have spent long days and nights in celebrating death. And one of the reasons though that this struck me, and I'm not quite sure what this is about, but Turner Classic Movies is doing a 2-month focus on World War II. And they're showing 75 different movies that all focus on World War II. Now, I haven't seen many of them, but there was one on the other day, and I did record it. It's called The Longest Day. And it's it's about the Allied troops invading Normandy. And I just thought, you know what? I don't know what it is, but I just want to watch this. I just want to watch it. And so it's a 3-hour movie. I'm only like about an hour through it.
But what's and there's a lot of killing, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. Well, and yep. But you know what's so interesting about it is, like I said, when I kept thinking, why does she want this lesson? And then I see that it's June 6th because that is the day. That was the day that they, you know, it was D-Day.
That's true, yeah.
It's the day of the invasion. So yeah, I thought,
and
oh,
it's the, what is it, the 75th anniversary or something?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
It's, which is why they're doing the 75 movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other reason it's, you know, like I said, I have always been somewhat fascinated by World War II, only I think because I was born in 53. So at that time, there were a lot, you know, that was still such a fresh idea that people talked about. Movies were being made about it, trying to reinterpret it, trying to maybe even romanticize it. But I think now one of the reasons I'm interested in looking at that and what has come to me is that, you know, I think sometimes we look at the world and we go, it's never been this bad.
Right.
It's never been this bad. And then I look at these movies and I think about some of the depictions, like what it must have been to be in some of those countries that were totally, totally ravaged by war, whether it was Germany or Poland or France.
Under siege for years, yeah.
Yes. And I thought, you know, we are just so silly as humans. I mean, we don't tend to learn much, but just that idea that it's never been this bad. Well, you know what? It's been this bad for thousands of years.
It's
always been this bad. It's just the form changes, the content, you know, well, or I should say, yeah, the content is the same, the form changes. And so I don't know why, but I'm just attracted to kind of looking at that and going, yeah, why don't we ever learn these lessons? And of course, what is so spectacular in movies like this is the portrayal of the good guys and the bad guys. We so want to be innocent victims. We have this huge investment in being, you know, individuals, but not being responsible for it. You know, a huge investment in this world that we have created this defense mechanism and making somebody else responsible. And so
it
really is, I mean, it seems odd, but it feels like a spiritual experience kind of watching these movies and looking at the mythology, the human mythology, the psychology that comes through in, you know, defending home and family, defending freedom, defending an idea against the bad guys.
Right. And it's really the practice of, you know, as course students, the spiritual practice of that, it's really paying attention to what comes up within, you know, me, in terms of how much I want to identify with one side over the other and see them as different, see them as, you know, as you said, as you know, one side is righteous and one side is heinous. And whatever they're fighting for, you know, whatever my cause is the righteous one and theirs is not, you know, it's horrid. And within the dream, you know, that makes sense from whatever side you're coming from, but no side, you know, each side is coming from a very frightened, the same, actually, is what we're being led to see, is the same heinous place of believing that we, you know, really separated from God and the guilt is so excruciatingly horrid that we, you know, we have to try to find some way to exonerate ourselves even a little bit by comparing ourselves in some way to others as being the less vicious ones. And in everyone's mind, there's a rationale for that. And there's a sense of having been victimized that causes their behavior, whatever, you know, aggressive behavior it might be. And within their own thought system, you know, rationalizes it that it's righteous. And so we're all in the same boat, literally, you know, of ego's boat of trying to prove that we really exist apart from God, but it's less my fault than yours. And so, you know, that's what we're doing all the time. And that exercise, I mean, that's the indirect learning of the course, is really taking responsibility, looking at all the barriers to my awareness of love's presence, which even watching TV would be, you know, again, the judgments that arise over seeing, you know, reinforcing the ego thought system of one or the other in the way I take sides and the way I try to make victims and victimizers different. And so, you know, rather than seeing that that both sides are in horrible pain, you know, people that are committing atrocities cannot be happy people, you know.
Right.
So it's, you know, the psychological murder involved in that, self-destruction involved in that is just as enormous. So this is a course really, and, you know, we are really looking at the viciousness of the world that we made up, in the world that we keep wanting to dream and hide in. And, you know, that does take work, but we're not doing it by ourselves. And I think sometimes we can become so horrified, you know, by, and also just sort of mindlessly swept, as I was saying earlier, into the dream again, by all of the things that seem to be going wrong, that we forget that there is a part of our mind, you know, that we're not, this isn't just about looking at the ego with the ego. This is about looking at the ego with a part of our mind that really knows that victims and victimizers are the same and that everyone is loved and that everyone made it out of this, you know, this D-Day, you know, that we're always reliving. And so it really is that, you know, it's that indirect learning of kind of discovering from moment to moment by changing our mind, changing our teacher, kind of withdrawing our belief and or recognizing that we've made it a choice, we've decided with the ego and taking that choice back to the mind. And when we do that, really that kind of just the peace, the loving part of our mind, which is really the only part that's real, is just there waiting for us to turn to it. You know, it's indirect. The course is teaching is indirect learning because we're too afraid to just disappear into the heart of God, you know, I remember Ken talking about that, and I remember Rosemary, who Lasasa, who worked for Ken, talking about how Ken always, you know, had said that he really had joined the monastery way back before the course, because he had wanted to, you know, he really felt that longing to return to God and disappear into the heart of God. And him telling people about that at the foundation early at Roscoe, and her, you know, thinking, well, I don't want to disappear into the heart of God.
Yeah, right.
That doesn't sound so great. And, you know, I mean, I feel that way too when I hear that. You know, what does that mean? What does that look like, right? So we're really afraid of that idea of not being a personal self, not being bodies. And so we don't have to give up that idea all at once. It's too frightening. We just have to take these gentle steps that the workbook lesson begins to introduce us to the practice of forgiveness, right? Which is really just taking, you know, looking at how much I want to blame everything outside me, everyone and everything outside me, for why I'm so really internally feeling guilty all the time, you know, mm-hmm. feeling upset, feeling anxious, feeling, I mean, those are the symptoms of guilt, is all of the unrest that I feel internally, and the fear and the anxiety, the depression, the anger. I mean, that's guilt. Mm-hmm. And we're just not sure where it's coming from. And so we think it's coming from outside of us. We seize on something outside us. But first we identified with that thought of guilt in the mind, which is always really just a replay of that initial guilt that we felt over believing that we really did separate from God. You know, we really were able to create a different reality. And now we're suffering the horrible consequences of that. And so we're in a fight to the death to try to see who's going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who's going to pay the most? We all have to pay something. There's no innocence here. We're all going to die. But who's going to die the most in the most vicious manner, you know? Who's mm-hmm. going to die first? Who's going to have, you know, who's going to be the least guilty when they go, so that God may have mercy on them in some kind of imagined afterlife. So you know, so this lesson, and Ken, I was just skimmed over some of Ken's commentary in his Journey Through the Workbook yesterday on this, and he was making the point that this lesson is quite different from the rest of the lessons, in the sense that it is, you know, the rest of the lessons are much more aimed at looking at the ego and getting us into the practice of forgiveness and you know, which is really at its most basic, saying, you know, recognizing that when I'm upset, that it's not for the reason I think. It's not because of what's going on, what just happened to me. It's not because of my computer crashing or my financial situation or my physical, you know, body experiencing something, or the body of a loved one, or what I just saw in the news. It's because of a choice that I'm making in my mind. And, you know, it's a constant process of reminding ourselves of that. And then we enter his presence now by turning to that part of our mind and asking for help to see this differently. You know, let me look at this slaughter on the beach here as, you know, the way you look at it. And to see it through the eyes of forgiveness and gentleness, and as all the same problem. You know, it's an outside picture of an inner condition, but the problem was solved. You know, this, I mean, from the Course's perspective of the metaphysics, the problem was really solved long ago. And so we're painfully reenacting all of these possible scenarios of what separation would look like, but they really didn't have the consequences that we think they did. And mm-hmm. everyone really is still innocent and still welcome home.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's the only place that we're going to have peace in that part of our mind, you know. That's a vertical choice to leave the battleground, not to keep trying to make one side or the other the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Well, and something I was reading of Ken's, I've been rereading another book of his, the one that covers the obstacles to peace. I think it's called The Journey Home. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of funny, because as I'm reading it, all of a sudden I'm realizing just the way he's talking about the layers of defenses of the ego, I thought it's like the ego is making lasagna. You know? And I thought, now there, hey, Susan, there's a little funny thing that you could write about. There's an article for you. The ego's defense lasagna recipe. Because, you know, he's talking about it and he goes, okay, he starts, or the ego starts with a non-existent problem, which is, right. I bet I could separate from God. So it's right. non-existent. But once it starts down that path, then it needs
some... Once we believe it, yeah.
Yeah, once we believe it, then comes the sin and the guilt and the fear. So kind of non-existent defense mechanisms come in. And then you layer something else on it. And then you let, you know, so then you need a place to hide. Because if you really did this, then God's eventually going to be pretty mad. So you need a place to hide. So now you have a new layer, which is the world and the body. And then that has its own defense mechanisms, which is a lot of what the special relationships are about. But as Ken's talking about it, I could literally see the ego just layering all these pieces together. But the one thing that really struck me about it too, is not only those words non-existent problem and then non-existent defenses, which lead to another non-existent problem. Right. Because like you said, it never happened, but we just keep layering all these non-existent things together. But what really struck me that, I mean, on some level I must have gotten this, but that every single layer is designed to make us not be able to access the layer before.
Right. Right, we're burying it deeper and deeper in the mind so that we never find it. Yeah.
And that so plays into what we're talking about, undoing the ego. Why is it so difficult? It's not only because we just can't identify, you know, this whole fear of jumping back in the arms of God, but we made it that way. So that by the time we get to the top of this recipe or the top of this defense mechanism, there's no way we can identify what's at the bottom of it, because every single layer is designed to make us not understand the layer before or not access the layer before. Right. And I just thought, what? And, you know, somehow that just was like a little light bulb going off. Right. That. And maybe it's because I blame myself so much. I judge myself. Why can't I just get this? Why can't I just get this? Right. And it's like, because you have to peel back the layers one at a time and really look at them and forgive right there, right where you are.
Right, right. I mean, and it was deliberate, but we forgot we buried all of this. We forgot we made it up. Mm-hmm. And so that it's so deeply unconscious, and what it's hiding is a fear and a guilt that is so much greater than we could even imagine. You know?
Right.
I mean, we really felt like we destroyed ourselves, in the, you know, because we are a part of God, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was, and we destroyed love. You know, we destroyed all that was worth being for. And so it's really an excruciating loss that we're trying to you know, forget about. And so we're so driven to not, you know, the whole ego strategy to get away from it was to just bury it deeper and deeper and deeper in the mind so that we would never find it. And the last thing that, you know, we're also rooting ourselves very deeply in this dream so that we'll never awaken. I mean, we just keep mindlessly following dream scenes, you know, deeper and deeper into this unconscious kind of state, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we don't, I mean, you know that most of, I mean, even as course students, we're devoted to the undoing, learning this course, practicing this course, and the undoing that will bring us. But we also know that we've encountered enormous resistance within ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we know how difficult it is to keep remembering that what our purpose is. We know how difficult it is to suspend our disbelief when we're really angry that it's not about them or the situation. And, you know, we're devoted into really practicing this. So think how counter to the world, most people in the world who don't even know about this, or, you know, I mean, I remember telling a friend of mine who was asking about, you know, the course's teaching and forgiveness about this. And, And she just, you know, and really talking about how it was forgiving what really what never was, that it, and how the Course really wants to see or gets us to try to see victims and victimizers as coming from that same sense of you know, guilt and lack in the mind. And she just was, you know, thought that was ridiculous, you know,
yes.
Horrible. I mean, I could just see her shut down and just kind of say, I mean, pretty much, you know, she had a little fist going on, you know, uh-huh. She didn't slam it too hard on the table, but she was kind of like, no, that's not, you know, people need to pay for what they did and take
that's
responsibility
right.
for what they did. And, you know, it's, you can forgive, but they still did it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the world, I mean, and that's not, you know, she's a great person and a very spiritual person actually, but, you know, that's not the teaching way of most spiritualities. I was thinking about, somebody was talking to me about karma yesterday and, you know, I've explored a lot of Eastern, religions over the years, not in depth really, but you know, we're all sort of familiar with the basic idea of karma that we carry into different incarnations, that whatever, you know, wrongs we might have done in the past, and that they sort of can come back to us as another chance to heal them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still that idea, really, when you think about it, at the core of that, and it, from the way I understand it anyway, where it's, you know, it's also not really loving, because it's all about guilt, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, I really did something, and we're carrying,
yes.
you know, this around, and we can't get away from it. We had it coming, and we're going to have to pay it off. You know?
Well,
and
that's
that
right.
Really
we
is...
can never be spontaneous. We can never be in the
right.
moment, because we've got all the baggage.
Right. We've got to work off our sentence. And
mm-hmm.
and really, that's, you know, that's very much like Christianity's view. I mean, in content, the form's a little different, but really that we come in with original sin, and we, you know, and then we accumulate more sins that we're constantly having to, if you're the way I was raised way back anyway in the Catholic Church, that you need to constantly be, you know, confessing, because you're sinning, you know, anew all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you need to be forgiven by an authority in the church and all of that. So you know, the world that we made up is hell bent, literally, because from the Course's perspective, the world we're imagining is hell, because it's apart from God, on making guilt real. You know, that's what holds the whole, you know, keeps the lid on the whole thing that we buried, right?
Mm-hmm.
Using the imagery that you were using. So, so really, we can't skip steps. We have to take these little steps. The lessons are all about that. The workbook introduces us to both the themes of the Course, but really just to the idea of practicing the Course and looking at, you know, becoming familiar and comfortable with, as comfortable as we can be, with the content of our mind, and beginning to notice the judgments, notice the reactions. You know, beginning to train, it's a mind training, which is really kind of also untraining us from the world's, what we've trained ourselves, which is the knee-jerk reaction that when I'm upset, it came from something that someone else did to me. You know, there's not, I'm just kind of walking around as this blank slate, and I'm fired at constantly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we all kind of, you know, operate in the world. And the Course is saying, wait, every time I have those thoughts, I have those judgmental thoughts, I have those defensive thoughts, I have those feelings of anger and anxiety and upset. From this practice, that's my red flag to stop a moment and take a moment and say, wait a minute, maybe I'm wrong about the cause of this, because the Course is telling me it's not anything outside my mind. It looks convincing, but the Course is telling me that I secretly Matt, you know, made this up to try to defend against something that I think happened that didn't in the mind. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to kind of keep what we were talking about earlier, the Course's metaphysics, that, you know, this is all coming from that tiny Matt idea that I, that arose in the one child of God's mind, that I could maybe be separate from this or create a different reality, a better reality, you know, strike off on my own and experiment with what it would be like to be apart from God. And, you know, nothing really happened from that idea. It was a silly idea at which one part of our mind, the right mind, Jesus, Holy Spirit, remembered to laugh, but another part of our mind took it seriously and was devastated by it and, you know, was often running into making up an entire, projecting out an entire defense system, which is the world of bodies that we see. And, you know, we ran away from the mind at that point and forgot that we had this other part of our mind. And, you know, now we're learning very, very slowly in each moment. The training of the course is to, the undoing of it is to notice, you know, to in each moment when I feel victimized, when I feel attacked or I'm having attack thoughts, to pause and question them and mm-hmm. question where that's coming from and recognize that it's a choice that I'm making right now to make that belief in separation real. It's an outside picture of that inner condition, and the inner condition can be healed right now. You know, in each moment, I can allow some of that guilt, false belief, over that false belief to go, if I'm willing to take that projection back and look at it with Jesus, look at it with the part of my mind that knows it's, you know, enter his presence now. You know, Jesus is the Holy Spirit is the symbol, the memory of that wholeness in our mind that reflects his presence, God's presence, the reality of what we are, which is still too scary for us to encounter directly because we believe we deserve punishment from that. But we do have this intermediary sort of, you know, this light in our mind that we can take it to and see that we were wrong, you know, that it's really just silly and that no one's guilty here in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what helps me? I was thinking about you talking to your friend, and I will admit I don't talk course to too many people that are not course
students.
Only
if they ask me, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I, you know, because it is almost like I want to say, okay, what I'm going to tell you sounds very contrary to everything. It sounds crazy. You know, it goes mm-hmm. back to that 2 + 2 = 4 versus 2 + 2 = 5. And, you know, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I know you're going to think this is crazy. But what comes back to me, and sometimes I'll even say this, is, you know, the ego system, the world system is all about it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit or the alternative is no, we're all in this together, so it's one or not at all.
Together or not at all, yeah.
Together or not at all. Yeah, sorry, I got that wrong. See, well, it's one or the other, you know.
And yeah, it's the end of the obstacles to peace, the lifting of the veil. That's what it talks about, yes.
But ultimately, you know, I mean, I can even ask myself as a pragmatist, which I consider myself to be, you know, does it work for me to keep buying into that idea of one or the other? How does it feel? How does it work?
It feels horrible.
Exactly. And in fact, I was explaining something to somebody the other day from an astrological standpoint, and, you know, I didn't use the course, but it was a very similar phenomena of, you know, looking at something in her chart and looking at this idea of being a survivor. I've got to survive. You know, it's going to be me or them. And I said, but, you know, that's the shadow of it, is always seeing enemies, always seeing it's either me or them. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. And that's what's going on. I said, but you could actually take that same energy and just say, you know, I'm a person. I love to have a challenge. I love to learn new things. I love to have new stimulation. I like to, you know, I do like to have a challenge in my life. But I said, but you don't have to take that kind of energy, that need, that desire, and turn it into, I have all these enemies that I have to beat up.
Right.
You know, I said, that's your choice. Now, you know, and I would have loved in some ways to explain it from a perspective of a course, but it felt like kind of the same thing. And, you know, I just want to say, is it working for you? Is it working for you
right.
to always see enemies, to always say who's going to be the next person who's taking something away from me? Because, you know, as we've discussed many times, a lot of people that come to the course, we're just beaten up. You know, we're tired of it because we've tried everything else. We have tried so many other things, and there is no version of one or the other that's ever going to work. It just doesn't work. And so the course offers us an alternative to that idea that there really is another world where it is together or not at all, even though that wouldn't appear to be true. And you want to hear something funny? I wanted to tell you this, and Christy, our producer, will appreciate this too. When we fill out forms every week telling the producer what we're going to do for the show, the producer guide, at the very bottom of it, it has one of those, I don't know what you call it, but it's I'm not a robot test, basically.
Right, right.
So it asks a question, you know, if the black cat is black, what color is it? Well, just this week, it said, literally, Susan, what is 2 + 2? And I so wanted to go 5.
Right, because of Ken Wapnick always using that as an example of the world versus the courses logic, right?
Yeah. This show, on the, you know, every other week, we have been listening to his workshop, 2 + 2 = 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, how funny that's one of the questions that it would pose to me is, what is 2 + 2? And
right.
What happens if I put in 5? But I didn't.
Right.
Because one time I did, because those questions I just think are so funny. So one time I purposefully answered it wrong, and it came back and said, And so I said, okay, I'll play by the rules, you know. But I just thought, you know, to me, that was almost like a little nod from the Holy Spirit or a nod from my higher self, whatever you want to call it. It's like that kind of a question would come up. And, you know, going back to this lesson, you have spent long days and nights in celebrating death, but today you can learn to feel the joy of life. If only for an instant, for a minute, let's, in the middle of this lesson, June 6th, let's talk about what it is to come into his presence, even if for a minute, because I know, that you're dealing with a lot of darkness in your life, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And the truth is, the end of the tunnel isn't as far as you think. It's right here.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, that is the whole point of the Holy Instant. And this very present practice of forgiveness is really that right now, at any moment, I can change my mind. You know, I can choose again. And I can change my inner teacher. And I can have a different experience. And so this lesson is talking about, both that experience in the moment, that Holy Instant, where we can, you know, vertically rise above the battleground, back to the mind, and really, you know, take back our projection and say, no, I'm wrong about this. We're on the same side here. You know, my computer, my hard drive is not against me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it did not abandon me. I am not the data that I lost. Mm-hmm. And all that we really want and are is still with us always. And, and I'm saying that as if I'm telling myself that, but that's not the process. The process is just I'm wrong, and I'm willing to see it differently. I want to see peace instead of this. And, you know, we can have that, we can allow that shift. It happens, it's there, it's waiting for us. So it's really just a decision to choose against my ego reaction and take responsibility for it back to the mind. And, you know, that opens the door to the peace that's waiting for us, that comfort, that the beautiful, we are entering the presence of that beautiful comfort. And then ultimately, you know, we practice this and practice this through until all the guilt is gone, really. You know, I mean, when we no longer are having these reactions and attack thoughts and experiencing ourselves as victims and victimizers, we don't need to do this. You know, we enter the real world. We're not identified with ourselves defensively as bodies anymore, and everything is perceived only as a call for love and answered as a call for love. We see that we are really going home together or not at all, and you know, we know that any choice against that is coming from the same fear that I've had, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's coming from a wrong place, and that, you know, the Course is so lovely in the way it directly confronts this, and it is, it does claim to be an accelerated path, but all paths lead to this point in the end. I mean, whatever path people are taking will eventually lead them at the top of the ladder, at the end of the journey. You know, there can't be the thought of one or the other left.
Right.
The course is a much more direct way, and even though it's indirect learning, it's much more direct than most paths in the way that it confronts the ego and looks at the ego and looks at what's going on with that and what the cause of it is in our relationships. But you know, we all end up in the same place. We're all home.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, before we leave this lesson, I realize we just have a few minutes left. There's some beautiful, beautiful things in here, including something that says a glow that travels from your fingertips to those you touch. And there's a line that says your body will be sanctified today. But just a reminder that these are all analogies. You know, that when you change your mind, when you change the purpose of your life, the purpose of your body, or the thoughts that are going through your mind, you connect with others in a different way. Not that all of a sudden, like Ken says, it's, you know, don't go around touching people. It's not like there's light coming from your fingertips.
I know, I love that.
But the other thing, and I noticed this too, you know, when you kind of shift that thinking towards the end of it, I think it's the last paragraph, it says, into Christ's presence will we enter now, serenely unaware of everything except his shining face and perfect love. Well, in the Course, most often Christ is not, they're not talking right. Jesus. They're talking about Christ is the collective Son. The collective
Son. Well, and the innocence, it's the symbol of our shared innocence.
Yes.
The face of innocence. Yes.
So, you know, you know, as a Christian, you look at that and you're thinking into Christ's presence or into Jesus's presence. And it's like, no, when we're all together, that's it. It's like, that's our joint, like you said, our innocence. We come into this circle or we come into this place of feeling the presence of our joint innocence together. And that's what it feels like, a shining face and perfect love. But I just wanted to remind people of that, because this is where a course, if you're not reading carefully, you don't realize that a lot of words are being reinterpreted or concepts are being reinterpreted. And this is certainly one of them.
Yes,
so but as we come into that place of we're all in this together or not at all, that is the shining face of perfect love, Christ's presence.
And more, you know, I mean, that we do as we practice this. I mean, it actually, a lot of these calamities that I've been talking about over the last really few years, but this year in particular, have really given me so much in learning, in the sense of having peace regardless, you know, regardless of what's happening, and really seeing that it's not dependent on all I thought it was, and that we have the peace within us, we have the strength within us. I mean, that's an experience. That's not something. And it doesn't come, it's not coming from Susan, because that's not, I know Susan, and she's not happy about anything.
Yeah.
She's a nervous wreck most of the time. But there's a part of all of us that isn't. And really, we can connect with that part and have that experience, and it's beautiful when that happens.
That's
the whole point of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Susan, thank you so much for suggesting this lesson. And thank you so much for taking the time to join me today amidst the calamities and the chaos.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you.
I always like to tell people, and I think this is true, I do this show for myself. You know, I do this show because it gives me the opportunity to really focus and talk out loud, to take that moment and just really, really focus on the course with the people like you and the people in the chat room and the listeners. You know, it just gives me that opportunity to share this information to myself or for myself.
Right.
So
right.
thank you for being part of my play, you know, for being part of my script. A delightful person on the road. So, Susan, do you have any announcements that you'd like to make before we close the show today?
No, just again, always a plug for the Foundation for A Course in Miracles. They're doing some great work, and Jeff Siebert, who's a longtime teacher there, is teaching regularly every month now, and you know, is just such a shining light of communicating Ken's teaching and how it's working, you know, how he's applying it in his own forgiveness classrooms. And so is Rosemary Lasasa, who I still talk with, and hopefully I'll be having an interview with her that I'll be posting in the next couple months, maybe the next month probably. And then also another one with Jeff this summer. I'm going to be continuing to interview both of them and share their wisdom. So thank you.
Okay, and that'll be on Susan's blog, which is www.forayesinforgiveness.com. So that's
yes.
F-O-R-A-Y-S, inforgiveness.com. So thank you so much for that, Susan. And I did post that over in our chat room. So if people are over on Facebook and they want to go grab that, they can, or just click on that. And speaking of the chat room, thanks to everybody who joined me today. Greg, it's always good to see you, and Renee and Alishea. Thank you so much. And Quelly, thank you very much for joining us this morning and for your comments during the show. And Christy Brower, thank you for being our producer today. And everybody, I hope that you will keep it tuned to 1-2 Radio for more live programming today. And then, of course, catch me next week on Simple Tales on Tuesday, where the time has been changed. It's now 9 a.m. Pacific. So until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about life and spirituality.